everybody, and welcome to episode 14 of Prioritizing, a married couple's faith-based insight into what is most important in marriage, in education, and in life. Joined by me today is the other half of that married couple, Samantha.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Samantha. Now, Samantha, we'll skip the recap since it's been so long, but how was your Christmas? How was your New Year?
Everything went really well. I got to spend a lot of time in New York with my family. And we got to see your side of the family as well. It was just an all-around good time to have that extended connection, those extended connections with people that you normally don't get to see.
Yes, and any motivating words for those teachers heading back to school in a couple of days, or maybe even tomorrow. Today is we're recording on January 1st, so today is the first day of 2018. So again, Happy New Year. But do you have any words of encouragement, Samantha, for those teachers out there who are starting school tomorrow and some are starting on Wednesday?
Just to enjoy the last few moments that you can, and everything else will get done. Savor the last little bit of your vacation so that you're ready to go with a smile come whatever day you go back.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it as a deadline, oh, my vacation's almost over, I think when you, they say you eat the fruit of your words, so if you're dreading this deadline of having to go back to work, it's going to show, and the kids, as we've talked about several times, the kids pick up on that, especially if you're a classroom teacher like Samantha. The kids will know right away if you're sagging, come to think about it, what are the kids going to be like when they come back from a long vacation, Samantha?
The same way, and I think, too, it's important to know it's okay to feel that way. I mean, I myself love vacation and don't always want to go back on the day that I have to.
Wait, you like sleeping in till 8 or 9 and then not having to go to bed at
absolutely
7 or 8? You do?
But my point being is that
I said 7 or 8. I don't know. It's about 7 o'clock. Sorry about that.
It's what we signed up for, and it's just something that you always know. So to try to keep that positive spin and do what you can to make the first day back from vacation a little bit extra special, whether it's having a good coffee or something to look forward to.
And not to mention, for those of us who are in the profession because you feel like, and a lot of teachers out there in the profession because they feel that they're good at it or they're gifted, but it might not be what they feel their calling is, and that's okay. But for those teachers who are especially out there, it's their calling, it's their vocation, if you will. Those are the folks who, you know, we don't have to be. If you're one of those teachers, then I guess you don't have to listen to what we're saying right now because this doesn't apply to you. The kids are going to feed off when they come through that door on that Tuesday or Wednesday morning. They are going to feed off of whatever vibes you are giving them. Just like any other day, but especially, it is especially important when you come back from vacation, and that is what we are talking about today, how to reestablish those procedures and get them back into the swing of things in a timely manner, but not too fast to where we're, is it fair to say, Samantha, we can't just throw the curriculum at them the first second they're back in the classroom, especially in the younger grades?
Absolutely, and it's easy to feel that pressure, especially when you're doing your plans to come back and say, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind where I was last year. I can't believe I still have to hit these topics. For many schools, the end of the second quarter is a week or two after we get back from vacation, but it's okay, and it's going to save your life so much by slowing down and really taking those 3 or 4 days of the short week when you come back to re-hit guidelines and expectations, because the kids are going to need it. I personally feel like there's always a big jump in development after Christmas break. The kids come back and they're a lot closer to that next grade level.
Especially in second grade, because second grade, as some of you know, is a sacramental year, so the kids are about to receive their first confession and first communion, so it's important. Now, they're not only excited for that, but they're still excited about what happened over Christmas break. So if they want to come in, they want to tell you, you know, what Santa got them. They want to tell you all the great things that happened when they were spending time with their family, or when they went to Christmas Mass or Christmas Eve Mass. They want to share those moments with their friends and with their teacher. So if you just shut that down and get right back to business, you know, you might get compliance, but it's I don't know, you missed that opportunity to establish a deeper connection, wouldn't you say, Sam?
Absolutely, and I know some of us are in a unique situation where, you have specials right away. I know for me, I go back on Wednesday and I have a special right at 8:20 and the kids come in. But, and I'm like sad about that because I want to have that time when they first come in to hear about their Christmas and to have our morning meeting to celebrate all the good that had come over our few weeks away.
Sure. Now, speaking of your morning meeting, Samantha is a responsive classroom spearheader. She's a expert, if you will, in that field. Wouldn't you say, Samantha?
Maybe? Totally not an expert.
I would say that. She wouldn't say that.
I have loved learning, and I love practicing it.
Now, what is your... And we won't get into what responsive classroom is necessarily, but I'm sure when Samantha talks about this in just a second, you'll get a better idea. What is your morning meeting going to look like on that first day back, would you say?
Well, on the first day back, what we'll do is we'll start at our seats, and before we transition to the rug, I will have a few kids model it right away. Even though before Christmas break, we were at the point where the whole class could transition at once.
Model what? What do you mean?
Model how to gather on the rug. Sorry.
This is just a quick backstory so everyone knows. Samantha teaches second grade, so it's not, in case some of you are thinking, she teaches high school and she's having the kids have to walk over to the rug? What? Yeah, so she teaches second grade. She used to teach fifth, but she's teaching second now. And she's going to continue that. So I'm sorry to jump in there, Samantha.
So where, as before, I'd say, okay, you know, ladies and gents, time for morning meeting. Make your way to the rug. And everyone would stand up and push in their chairs and silently go choose their seat. I won't expect that will happen this first day back.
What are you envisioning? Let's just say if you said, okay, kids, guys and gals, get up, choose your seat.
Talking, jumping, kids just excited to be
rolling,
back.
Picking.
Yeah, they're wiggly in second grade. That's the best way I can describe it. They're a little wiggly. They're always moving.
I'm trying to show my best wiggly.
So
good thing this isn't video.
I kind of wish we had it on video. So the morning meeting primarily will just be focusing on a balance between holding the expectations of what they need and how they behave during morning meeting, as well as having an opportunity to share and to allow them to feel heard and connected to the class, and to have you foster the ability, I'm sorry, that's not correct, you foster the environment for them to talk to their friends in a more structured way. That way it doesn't come out in your curriculum later. You give them what they're looking for, but in a way where they can practice their social, emotional, and communication skills.
Very good. There's two things I want to just jump on. Samantha, you said the word fostering, and this was something we talked about yesterday, but you know, you look at the word foster and it has an O, you know, it's F-O-S-T-E-R, of course, but the short O is an ah sound, so you'd think the word is fostering, and that's what Samantha says, and phonetically that's, you know, entirely correct, but when I hear other people say it, and the way I say it, it's always like the A-W sound, the fostering.
Fostering
is what you say. And phonetically, that's correct.
Fostering.
But this is completely irrelevant to the topic at hand, but I just thought I'd share that what our conversations are like when we're getting a little wiggly.
Oh, my goodness. All right, go on.
The other thing was, I just wanted to share with, mainly with Samantha, but since it's recording, I'll just keep going. I enjoy nothing more than watching Samantha talk about education and teaching, because I see the excitement in her and I hear it in her voice, and she's just so she's so well versed in the field of education, and it's a treat to see it. So
thank you.
We're talking about redeveloping those routines when they come back, because the kids are going to be excited. How do we get them back in that routine but without stifling their excitement for being back, for seeing their friends, for wanting to share with you all the neat things that happened? Oh, they went sleigh riding, we got snow, we threw snowballs at the person walking to their car, and whatever.
One thing that I have always really liked about the responsive classroom approach is that they do a morning message that the students can read right away. So one strategy could be incorporating that on your morning message and allowing them a chance to respond. I know when I taught fifth grade, it would have a prompt and they'd take the marker and share their top three things they did over vacation. Yes. And the kids would sit there reading the morning message board and reading the responses, or we do high and low, and there were 20 different arrows on the board, and they commented next to their high on the top arrow and their low on the bottom.
Their high what? Like their high point?
Yeah, like a high point, low point. Or just allowing them an opportunity to share with one another and to see everything without having to just talk about it. What did you do, Michael, when you were teaching second?
Oh, I for those of you who don't remember, I used to also teach second, so Samantha and I have a lot in common, aside from being married, of course, and having the same last name.
Oh, yeah, about that.
Samantha, you know, another little side note. Samantha's laughing because I'm like one of her students, probably. Another side note is that Samantha's maiden name, what is it, Samantha?
Valentine.
Samantha Valentine. Could you imagine if I was Michael Valentine? That's just a great sounding name.
We can go back if you want.
Well, pass, but just the idea, the thought of it, it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to start asking you before you speak, question or comment.
Another strategy for the carpet when a kid raises their hand. Does anyone have any questions, kids? And the kids raise their hand, and then they say, I have that too. Well, that's not really a question. So that's what Samantha means by question or comment. So this is just...
So funny to see when they're like, it's a comment, but it's so important. Like, please just let me share. Nope. I'll do questions at the end. Comments, you can talk to me at lunch or recess.
Oh, my goodness. Kids are so funny. Now, naturally, the important thing... I'm losing it. What did you ask?
I asked what you did to help kids share their excitement to keep the routine without punishing the talking and excitement.
Oh, well, part of it was my routine in the classroom already for Monday mornings or the first day back from a weekend gave kids the opportunity to talk about, to share the exciting things they did over the weekend in writing form. They did an over the weekend journal. So that routine picks right back up, and they get a chance to write about what they did over the long break. So as the kids are writing, they're getting the opportunity to share in written word what they did. But then on the special occasions, like over Halloween weekend or first day back from a break, I'll give the students who would like an opportunity to share to come into the front of the room and read their journal aloud before handing in. So that just gives them a chance to share the excitement, and at which point we'll kind of, like what you were saying, take questions at the end. Like if a kid says they went to Disney World, a kid once went to Disney World for Christmas, the kids got to ask three questions, and that gives the kids, the kid who's reading, an opportunity to be the center of attention.
Questions, not comments. Right now it's about, right now it's about Michael. Yes. Let's not steal his show.
It's his show. That's what I would say. It's his show. This is the Samantha show. Because a lot of times kids want to do, what do they want to do? If I brought in my brand new baseball bat, hand goes up?
I got a baseball bat too for Christmas.
That's the first thing. I got one of those too. Oh, neat. Okay, well, this is Samantha's show, so we care about her bat. Hers is so nice.
And I always make a point to say, when can you talk about that again? And the kids always say, I have recess during free time. They know. They just get so excited.
Now, I don't know if you do this now, but in fifth grade, you said you had a symbol for, like, a Me Too symbol. Is that right?
I did it in second grade, too.
You do? Like, if a kid has the same thing, or if they say, I went on this great, I went and built a snowman, and if a kid has a comment, they want to say Me Too, they can just hold up a finger or something, or something like that, right? Yeah, exactly. Now, going more into the routines, more specifics, I guess you could say, you got the kids coming in. Some of them might not be... They might be so excited to want to talk to their friends as they're unpacking or something. How do we keep them on track and maybe remind them, this is how we come in the classroom, this is how you unpack, this is how you wait for the morning announcements or whatever?
Well, one thing you can do is do a reminder checklist where the kids, even if it's a small sheet of paper, that they can physically mark off the order of their routines as you said, as that reminder of, oh, right, I got distracted, I should be doing this. But I think, too, one thing that can't be undervalued would be teacher presence. And that's making sure that you're not just at your computer checking your email or getting stuff ready for the day, that you're walking around and you're reinforcing the positive behavior that you're seeing. Because the students are going to... they feel that vibe, as Michael mentioned earlier. And if your presence isn't there for them, they're more apt to get off of what they know they should be doing. So I know going forward, I use fantastic tickets, which we've talked about previously, as my behavior system. So I'll be handing those out more freely than I usually would, just to keep students motivated on behaving when it's not as easy, or they're, oh yeah, I gotta get more tickets, and they're focusing on their self-control rather than talking to their neighbor.
Very good. Now, you mentioned teacher presence, and teacher presence with a CE, of course.
I was just going to make a presence joke.
Are you really? No, nice.
You're rubbing off on me.
So, you touched on that, and that's one thing I was thinking. One of the first things I was thinking when I asked that was, the teacher needs to be in that. I mean, I was big on being in the doorway and meeting the kids as they came through the door. If I saw someone walking down the hallway towards me, making some, you know, obnoxious sound or yelling down the hallway to him, so all the people around him, or all eyes are on him, so it's like a center of attention. Kids, in case you didn't know that, kids love to be the center of attention. Most kids, anyway. So just making them excited before they even step into that classroom, as they're coming towards you, or as they're walking into your classroom, giving them a handshake, giving them a high five, fist pump, whatever, and just making them feel special all over again, because that is, it's another reminder that not only that it's school time, but they're in a place where the teacher cares about them, loves them, and really is interested in their well-being. So being that presence, as you mentioned, in the classroom before class starts, just as the announcements are going, as they're doing their morning work or what have you, whatever your routine is like, just being there. And if you're a middle school teacher or high school teacher, being in that hallway as they're putting stuff in their lockers and just going over to kids, hey, how was your Christmas break? You know, what'd you do? Anything good? Awesome. Great. See you, man. See you later, young lady. That kind of thing. I think that could go a long way.
I think it does. You know, when I was in college, one of my professors had said, make sure that you say something to each kid individually every day to make them feel like the only student in the room. So for me, that's something I always try to live by. And sometimes I'll go through the day and be like, oh my gosh, I haven't even really talked to so-and-so yet. And, you know, sometimes that's your students that are more quiet and more reserved. And I always will take an opportunity, even if it's during independent work, to just pop down and say, hey, how you doing? Just checking in on you today. It's so good to see you. Or, you know, I've really missed that smile. Whatever it might be, you know, thank you for always doing your very best. I want you to know that I see you trying hard and really working to be a leader. Just finding that time, you know.
Yeah, I think that's important. And, you know, I listen. You hear all these teachers talk and those professors at college that we went to, and we're always used to hearing, you know, it pays off, they follow up with, you know, it really goes a long way. I know this student who is now in their 20s and 30s. You know, we haven't been teaching long enough to have those stories yet. I think our oldest students are probably, what, 8th grade now? 9th grade? Something like that. Okay, they're in high school. So we don't have those great feel-good stories, but even if we make that kid smile or feel special for that moment or just the rest of the day, that in itself will go a long way. And it might not, you might not hear about it, but that's not the reason we're in this. You know, we're not in this to get the recognition and the reward later and hear how great we are. Or
right.
Hopefully, and, anyway.
But there are those moments that make it worthwhile and that touch your heart even in the more challenging times. You know, Michael and I had this really great opportunity to go back to our old school before Christmas vacation. And just
shout out to St. Bernadette in Silver Spring. Hey, kiddos. Mm-hmm.
just to see the kids that we had taught, and even though they're not in our classes anymore and they might be 3 or 4 years older than they were when we had them, it was such a cool opportunity to have that connection
and to pick up where we left off with them, and, you know, still not miss a beat, and have the same kids who you had in second grade come up and give you a hug. And I can't tell you how awesome that was.
It was so cool. You know, and even it was funny because some kids were like, hey, Mrs. Pryor, what's my name? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I had you for a whole year. I'm not going to forget who you are. But it's funny to
I guess they think we age quicker.
I think they do. And also, you know, just then more than ever to have them feel important and to say, you know, hey, Michael, how could I possibly forget you? You know, I remember you for XYZ. Giving them that specific feedback, because sometimes I think, you know, they switch year by year. And especially when teachers leave, it's out of sight, out of mind. But going back and letting kids still feel valued, like, it made our day. We talked about it the whole drive back to New York. It was so wonderful to see everyone.
It was the most heartwarming experience, and it was so incredibly special. We just mentioned, you know, talking about not being in it for recognition, and that's, you know, 0% of why we're in this. But as we walked down the stairs to the lunch of the fifth through eighth graders, so those were five, six, seven, and eight, and we had taught all the kids that were in there, or most of them. Some of the kids had just moved, but most of the kids that were in that lunch we had taught previously. And as we're walking, descending down the stairs, the whole place starts erupting and clapping.
It was super uncomfortable.
It was like, we like looked at each other, like, see Samantha getting red, like, what are we supposed to do? And I didn't really have an answer, but it was just instant goosebumps, and just seeing the kids, it was genuine. It wasn't forced.
So cool.
And it was all, and I don't have words. It was just so special.
And I know some of those St. B's kiddos are listening, and just know how much we love all of you guys, and we just, you're awesome.
You really made our day, and our week, and our month, and we're still talking about it now.
Yeah.
We're never going to forget that. I can tell you that with 100% certainty. We will never forget that. So that was incredibly special.
You know, it's those small moments that don't seem a big deal. It was so awesome. But that really carry with you. And while students have that impact on us, we also, as teachers, have that impact on them. Yeah. And I would love to hear some of the things that people remember me for, or you for. You know, I'm sure it's things that are probably so weird, and not things that the smallest action can have the biggest impact.
Yes indeedy, you are right, Mrs. P. So anyway, set up those routines getting back into the class, but don't stifle their excitement coming in. Be ready to celebrate them, and ready to celebrate they probably still want to celebrate Christmas break and be on Christmas break, but if you create coming back to school as a celebration, they too will celebrate. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for listening.